We are so grateful to have all of you here. And one of the things that I wanted to do today was talk to you just a minute about our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which you heard our WMU president talk about a little bit last Sunday. But I want to encourage you again this Sunday about it. I have a story. And the story that I want to share with you is about a little girl in Western Virginia many years ago. She was attending a church there in that town. And one day after school, she made an appointment to see the pastor. And the story goes like this. She and the pastor sat down and she said, "Pastor, I want to know how you know Jesus. I want to know how you become a Christian." And that pastor, like most pastors who are busy, have hospital visits to make, they've got sermons to prepare, they've got studies to do, their days get long, they've got phone calls and many, many things, but and could have gotten really busy and just kind of not paid attention to this too much, but he did. He took time with that young girl, and he prayed the prayer for her to accept Christ, and she followed suit. And she grew up in that church. Now, this is the story of many little girls in our country. But this little girl, when she was nurtured by this church, guided by this church, she grew up to be a missionary, a legend in our own denomination, one of the leaders, women leaders in missionary movement, in the modern missionary movement today. And the story that I have for you simply says this today. It starts here. Mission starts in our pews. Mission starts with our children. Mission starts with our emphasis. Mission does not begin out there. It does not begin over there. It begins here. And one of the things that I want to share with you about this missionary, she was not the missionary that we honored this year with in the way of Annie Armstrong, but instead this young lady, her name was Lottie Moon. And she is from Western Virginia. This is how mission starts in the hearts of God's people, planting seeds in the lives of young children. I could go on to tell you another story about a young man with three little children who had a job going to school in his local church, serving, teaching Sunday school, trying to train up his children the way they should go. And during that time, he felt a call to go to missions. So he and his family and three little children moved to a far different place than they were raised and set up shop and started a church. And they are on missions. The morals of these stories is this. Missions begins in our church. It may begin with us. One of the greatest things that I have yet to have done that I know of that would really help me and bless my ministry and how grateful I would be if I were to ever pastor a church where someone said, "I'll go to missions. I will surrender my life to missions." Then I know that our mission effort is complete. The last story that I want to tell you in closing is, many of you know that I am a retired Navy chaplain and that I was appointed by the North American Mission Board to serve for many years as a chaplain. But it all began with this. I remember the day that I went over to my in-law's house with their firstborn grandchild and their firstborn child. And we sat in the living room. And in that Virginia home in Chesapeake, I told them that I was taking their daughter and their firstborn grandson to Oklahoma. They looked at me. I don't think it was with love. I'm not sure. But I know they looked at me like I had lost my mind. Why are you leaving home? Why are you going somewhere else? Why are you doing that? And I hope that my message this morning will help clarify that as we get into the Word of God. But I will trust you to say that it began many, many years ago, and the call on our lives led us to many places where we never, ever thought we would ever go. But in every case, I think my family and I both would tell you that as your missionaries, we felt your support. And one of the great things I will never forget after 30 years, every year on my birthday, I got a bundle of letters from little children in ACT Teens, little children in Mission Friends, WMUs, thanking me for my service, telling me that they're praying for me and my family, and lifting us up in prayer. It is powerful. So we can pray. We can give. And it's my prayer that more of us would go. Let's stand and sing our next hymn, which is In My Heart There Rings a Melody, number 614. Please join us as we sing. In just a moment, we'll turn to the passage of Scripture for this morning, which is from Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 9, if you'd like to think about looking there. It's about Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a minister's son and destined to be one himself. You see, his father, Hilkiah, was a priest. And Jeremiah was born in the village of Anathoth, close enough to Jerusalem to see the city walls, but at the edge of the wilderness where the land slopes down to the Dead Sea. He labored as God's prophet for more than 40 years. In fact, from 627 B.C. to sometime after 586. 4 decades is a long time to be a prophet. The rabbis of that day called him the weeping prophet. They said he began wailing the moment he was born. When Michelangelo painted him on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, he presented him in a posture of despair. He looks like a man who was swept so long, or had wept so long, that he had no tears left to shed. In fact, if you see the picture, his face is turned to one side like a man who has been battered by many blows. His shoulders are hunched forward, weighed down by the sins of Judah. His eyes also are cast down as if he can no longer bear to see God's people suffer. His hand covers his mouth in the Sistine Chapel, perhaps to picture that he has nothing left to say. Jeremiah lived when little Israel was tossed around by what we call today 3 great superpowers. Assyria to the north, Egypt to the south, and Babylon to the east. He served and suffered through the administrations of 3 kings, Josiah the reformer, Jehoiakim the despot, and Zedekiah the puppet. He was a prophet right up to the time that God's people were deported to Babylon. Jeremiah himself was exiled to Egypt, where he died. If able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word from Jeremiah? It reads, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, overthrow, to build, and to plant. May God and his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated." I was thinking about this reading this week and why it was so perfect this morning. The story in our scripture is about a youth being asked by God to do great things. And it just so happens that today is Girl Scout Sunday. So we have the honor of having these young ladies with us today. These young ladies, or some of these, meet with their leaders here at Cherry Point Baptist Church. And as usual, our church supports young people and will do anything we can in support of finding God's plan for them and their lives. We support students in becoming responsible Christian adults in today's world. This story about Jeremiah is appropriate because it's the story of God calling a young person to a life of service. He is the one God called to be the man of God speaking to the words of God. So this young man, Jeremiah, is called to be the voice of God, to speak on behalf of God, not only to a parish or to a church or to a small group of people, but to an entire nation. It's an amazing story, but the truth is we must all, whether young or old, listen to God's voice. Now, how many of you adults in here have said before that to someone younger, "You look so young. You don't look like you're old enough. Oh, you have that baby face." It's no doubt that sometimes we do not value the voices of young people. All of us have experienced that probably sometime in our life, that we were too young to be listened to. And as students and as young people, I know if you're like me, I hated it. And we say that we'll never do it when we become experienced. And yet, how many of us do when we get older? I can't believe you're that old. I don't believe you're that experienced. The prophet Jeremiah must have known what that was like, because Jeremiah was living in Judah, a place going through some complex changes in his life. As a people, they were deciding what they would believe. They were deciding what they would worship. They were deciding what really, truly matters to them in life. And God calls to Jeremiah, this young man, that one day you are going to be a prophet to the nations and you are going to speak my word. You are going to be someone that will tell my people what God wants them to do in terms of being just, in terms of being faithful, and turning away from false things that surround them. We're not exactly sure how old Jeremiah was, but when God spoke to Jeremiah, he was probably a teenager. Certainly, he was in his youth. Now, the interesting thing about Jeremiah, he'd been raised in a home of religion. His father was a priest. He knew how to worship. He probably never missed a day. And so he knew about God. He knew the things of God. And yet when God said, Jeremiah, I want you to be my voice. I want you to speak for me. Jeremiah did like many people have done before. Not me, Lord. Not me. I can't even speak. I would never be able to do that. And so Jeremiah's first response was, like many people, the nominating committee contact. I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. But I want to tell you that the people that say no to God when he has called them, they do not live in peace. They are in turmoil. When God speaks to us and calls us, there is no peace, at least in the long term. At some point, we find that we must turn and do what God has called us to do. And I would submit that no one can say no to God and live in peace, at least not for long. In the end, Jeremiah went on to be one of the great prophets of our Bible. Our collective hope as adults should be that these young ladies will become young people who are filled with the confidence that God has created them for a purpose and has a plan for their lives, and that they too might understand and hear God's voice. And in that hope, we should also expect that later in their life that they get some sort of calling, some sort of a nudge in a particular direction. Hopefully they will feel ready to accept it, and they will draw upon what they are learning here to feel confident about what God has created them to be, but also that they might be strong ambassadors for the cross. It may be through some special service. It may be as a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, or some other occupation. But that's our hope for all young people, boys and girls, scouts or not, that we who are adults would be finding ways to enable them to first hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to help them understand the path that he has for them. So we might ask ourselves, what do we as adults do? Is what we teach, does it really matter? How we model the gospel, is it important? What we show them and demonstrate to them is powerful, and it can be negative or it can be positive. But it's imperative that these young women get the skills they need to live a productive life. In many ways, we are teaching them to counter the negative influences that seem to attack them earlier and earlier in their lives. And this can only be done through a partnership of those adults who surround them with values that will produce in them the character needed to live a life of true happiness and peace. It's that essential understanding that's paramount in their lives. And we must begin acknowledging the gifts they are, and we must commit to pray that they might hear the voice of God when he speaks to them. Especially in a world that gets louder and louder by those things that are not of God. I will tell you, in many cases, we find that the things of this world absolutely deny the power of God and the existence of God. But maybe God is saying, you know, I have some big plans for you. I have a promise for you. I know your entire life. I've known you since you were even formed in your mother's womb. And I have confidence that my way and my will give you a life of peace and hope and victory. These young people that are among us today and those in our church are going to be the generation that decides about many social issues that affect our world. There may be leaders among us who will decide about peace and war. There may be leaders among us that will decide about the economy and what we are doing. And it's imperative that we leave them a legacy that is worthy to be left. And the first thing we can do as people of God is we can leave a legacy of hope that in Christ there is that hope that everybody searches for. In living the will of God and understanding the plan of God for our lives is where we find our greatest credentials, our greatest influences, our greatest satisfaction, and everything about us should resonate with the Word of God. These young people will be the leaders of our nation, but more important, they can be the leaders of our churches, and they can be that moral and that Christian influence in our society that we so desperately need today. And it's up to us that we can help influence and mold and teach and model the things of God that they might too hear the voice of God like this young man, Jeremiah. It's a fact. Look around you. Not only here, but in other places. There are young people everywhere. There are young people who are curious and being formed. There are young people who have this curiosity and this desire for life and this joy that seems to be fulfilled only in the things of this world. And what we need to do as adults is we need to help them understand that there is never any real peace without Christ. There's never any real joy unless we're living God's plan. There is never any real hope without understanding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this church has the responsibility of helping our young people understand Jeremiah 29:11, which reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, we all know Jeremiah's calling is not for everyone. Not everyone in this room, nor everyone in the Bible was a prophet. But what it does teach is that God has a plan for every one of us, young and old. In fact, I would submit that there are many adults today who are frustrated, angry, depressed, feeling like their life is meaningless and hopeless because they have failed to follow God's will in their life. And they get to a certain point and find out that it was empty. That whatever they'd been searching for, whatever their goals were, did not fulfill that desire that only God can fill. The Bible is true. There is no peace apart from Christ. There is no real hope except the hope we find in the resurrection of Christ. I will tell you that many people in our country today, and in fact in our pews, in our churches, are not listening to the Word of God. They're not after the voice of God. They're not doing the things that they need to do and understand to have a vital relationship with God, living out His plan purposefully in their lives. And then they wonder why they're sick, why they're discouraged, why they don't have, why they're not joyful. They wonder why things seem to be going bad. Now, I'm not here to tell you today that all you have to do is listen to God and your whole life will get better. But I am saying this, not because I say it, but because I believe the Word of God strictly tells us that without Christ, you have no hope. Without Christ, you really are living a shell game. You're not experiencing the joy that He's given you. You're not experiencing all that God has for you. You're handling problems on your own without consulting the voice of God. You're trying to muddle through life, dealing with things, trying to understand the Bible through a daily devotion, one-page thing that you can read that gives you some lift. But the real power and purpose and the hope and the peace that comes in life from Christ cannot be duplicated anywhere else. Jeremiah learned this. In fact, God gave Jeremiah a heart for God's people. And that's why he was known as the weeping prophet. He kept going back to God. God, please have mercy on them. And they'd be a renegade bunch again, living outside God's purpose, living outside His will, speaking against God, getting those false gods that they would manifest in their lives and have hope in. And they all failed them. And Jeremiah was, turn to God. Go back and worship the living God. And over and over again, they rejected the very presence and power of God until God sent them into Babylon. And they were enslaved. And they were praying and hoping for many years, just, God, can we know you again? Deliver us, God. Help us, God. Even though everything that they were receiving was a result of their choices, their bad decisions, their searching things other than the real things in life, their being satisfied with those things that are superficial and plastic and not real, they failed to put their faith in that which was eternal. And we find today that many people are doing the same thing. We find God's will through His Word, through prayer, through worship, through others. And I will tell you that I think it's very important for us to understand that in this life, we have a responsibility as a church to lift these young people up, to encourage these young people, to demonstrate the Christian life in front of them, to love them, and to help them understand that God can use them too, and He wants to use them. So in conclusion, just let me summarize. Young people, Jeremiah called him as a young person, and he may be calling you. First, to know Him as your Savior. The Bible is very clear. It says, what must I do to be saved? It says, you must be born again. You must simply ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and you must commit to live for Him the rest of your life, doing your very best to follow His plan for your life. Second, He may want to call you into some vocation where you can live for Him, where you can glorify Him. And I think adults, we have to understand that God has given us young people to carry on the torch of abundant life, to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would simply ask us, as we reflect on the call of Jeremiah, how are we doing? How are we doing? Are we really doing all we can to hand off the work of God to the next generation? If not, what more should we be doing? Next, all of us, whether young and old, should be living the plan that God made for us. And finally, I want to tell you, it's never too late to follow Christ. I want to tell you a story. Whether you're young or whether you're old, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He wants you to hear Him. sometimes I feel like that God in my life has had to yell because of all the noise going on in my life and the other things. Sometimes in my life, I feel like that I have gone against God and I haven't heard God and I've gone down the wrong path. And I've said, like Jeremiah, woe is me. But I think the important thing for us all to remember that whether we're young or whether we're old, God has called us. I want to give you an illustration. A couple of years ago, our church was touched by two lives. These two people had had a full career. They'd raised their children. The nest was empty. The jobs were over. And these two people, happy homemakers, travelers, campers, adventurers, through all of that, they heard God call them. When life was done, they were drawing their Social Security. It's time to rest. It's time to give up. It's trying to let somebody else do. But not these two people. God called them to a place in West Virginia, far away from home. And they traveled up and down the Appalachian coast looking for places where God can be glorified, where the love of Christ can be shared. They heard the clarion call loud and clear. You ask them, they'll tell you. The reason they're important to us is they're the Aikens. They're the people that introduced us to the Appalachian Christmas outreach and the backpacks. God just needs obedient people. God just needs people to hear His voice and heed it. I want to tell you, whether you're young or whether you're old, God is not done with you. And I want to challenge you this morning. The first thing you need to do is listen to God. Hear His voice. And the first call He's going to give you is to become a disciple. To accept Christ as your Savior. And to commit your life to living for Him and accepting His forgiveness of your sins. And the second call you're going to hear is God speaking in that still small voice or maybe a loud voice that He's got a plan for you, whether you're 10 or whether you're 30 or whether you're 80. God is speaking. And He's speaking so that we might have abundant life and we might be in His will and we might understand His will. And it may take a great step of faith like the Aikens. Their retirement money's in the bank. They're getting Social Security. They're set. They can travel. They don't have money issues. Now is our time. But through it all, they heard God speak and say, I have a mission for you. And see what God has done and what God has done for them. He'll do for you, whether you're 10, 30, or 90. God is still speaking, and He wants you to be in His perfect will. He has a plan for your life. Are you in it? We have a responsibility of handing the mantle of missions over to the next generation. How are we doing? Are we so set in our ways that we're not going to change, and if they want the gospel like we received it, or else they don't get it? Are we willing to pray and say, Lord, what is it that You want us to do? So this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation, which is number 633, I will sing the wondrous story. If God has touched your heart this morning, you come and take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to know Him. Or Pastor, I want to follow Him. I want to hear His voice. You come as we sing this great hymn, number 633.